Our text tonight is in the Old Testament and from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27. I want you to open the scriptures there, put a marker in it or your finger in it, and then come for a reading to James chapter 4. So the text will be from Proverbs 27, but the reading tonight, James chapter 4. We're going to read from the verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Just as we glance at the scriptures there, I'm very heartened to just see what the previous verse tells us. He giveth more grace. There's a lovely hymn that's based on that text of scripture. And the Lord adds grace to grace. He saves us by grace. He sustains us by grace. And every day he's adding more grace just when we need it. And there are some that are in the dark valley, as you know. And they need that grace, that special grace, to see them through. Thank God the Lord gives it. He gives more grace when we need it. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, or what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We were at the open air yesterday. Stephen preached from this passage of Scripture. And certainly the Lord challenged me as I listened to the Word of God. And some of the things will be recounted tonight in this message also. But before we come to it, we're going to pray and look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, your Word searches our hearts. The mind of the Spirit is made known to us as we read the Scriptures. We thank thee that God has revealed himself in these things. We thank thee that he speaks to us from the Word. We thank thee that that Word is described as quick and powerful and sharp than a two-edged sword. We know that it is forever settled in heaven. It will never pass away. The Lord said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. We thank thee that we have the Scriptures of truth, all that God wants us to know, all that God wants us to know about himself, all that he wants us to know about ourselves and how we relate the one to the other is found in the volume of this book. We praise thee for it. Every word given by the inspiration of God As we come to the subject tonight, as we come to our text, we pray that you'll open up the word to us and speak to us. And may not one leave without hearing the voice of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 27, the opening verse, is our text. The Lord counsels us here, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you'll understand why I read from James chapter 4. I'm going to speak tonight about tomorrow's uncertainty. It's a very uncertain thing tomorrow. Farida was traveling home on Good Friday from a Christian conference. She was on a 28-seater bus. The vehicle got into trouble and careered off the road down an embankment. 7 people were killed instantly on that bus. The injured were taken to the local university hospital where Farida was admitted into the intensive care. Douglas texted us to inform us what had happened, asking for prayer. Really, she needed to be moved to the capital city, to a better hospital there in Kampala. But the doctor said she was not stable enough, she was not well enough to be moved. Douglas got her the most excellent treatment that he could. But we know, very sadly, she passed away last Lord's Day. Another lady connected to the school was called into eternity. She was buried the day that we left Emmanuel. In Canada, on Friday evening, 29 people were on a bus carrying a junior ice hockey team when it collided with a lorry. 15 people were killed, including 9 players between the ages of 16 and 21. At least 70 have been killed in a suspected chemical attack in Syria yesterday. 1,000 more were injured. We think of the young people that have been stabbed in these recent days in the city of London. Early this morning, in fact, just after midnight, a 29-year-old man in Belfast was murdered. He was stabbed, rushed to the Royal Victoria Hospital, where he soon, after being admitted, died. As I pondered these sudden, unexpected, tragic, devastating events which ushered precious souls out into the great eternity of God, I was led to think about this powerful statement of the wise king. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You hear about the tragic news of others, other young people, other families, another's death and eternity, but you say, it'll not happen to me. What makes you think that? Why will it not happen to you? How do you know? But waiting around the next corner, you will meet with death. How many people think this way as they hear the news, as they listen to these tragic events? It'll never happen to me. Well, God in his merciful wisdom sounds forth solemn declarations warning us, like the words that we have in the text here. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Apostle James in the New Testament, he expounds on this text in the passage that we read, and particularly verse 13 to 16. And here's the exposition. In Proverbs 27, the Lord says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. James gives the exposition of that in verse 13 of James 4, where he says, today or tomorrow, these people are saying, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They are boasting about tomorrow. They're boasting about the future. They're boasting about the whole year that is ahead. Solomon says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James, in his exposition of that, in the 14th verse, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And the conclusion of this is what James draws our attention to in verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But that's not the way people think. And that's not the way they live. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this in the incoming week. I'm making my plans for the summertime. I'm making my plans for the future. But God is not at all in their thoughts. James counsels us to think this way. If it is God's will, this plan, this arrangement will be done, will be carried out. The Lord will permit us to do that. And so tonight I want, because of what has happened in recent days and what we're hearing on the media all the time, I want to think about tomorrow's uncertainty. I want you to think, first of all, as we look at Proverbs 27 and verse 1, that there is the presumption of tomorrow. There is this boasting that the Word of God identifies, boasting about tomorrow. And the counsel, of course, to boast not thyself of tomorrow. Men are constantly boasting about the future. They are continually making their plans for the coming days. They promise themselves tomorrow. There is no thought of the sudden visitation of death. There is no thought of an accident overtaking them. There is no thought of injury or critical illness. There is no thought about their arrangements being upset or broken due to unforeseen circumstances. No, the vast majority are like those described by James in that 13th verse. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into this city. We're going to stay there a year. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. Going to make a lot of money. Now, of course, to provide for tomorrow is a scriptural duty. It's important to plan for the future. We all do that. The farmer, when he has reaped his harvest, he sows the seed for the next harvest. We must make certain plans and arrangements for the coming days. That's the wise thing. It's prudent to do that. But it's all according to God's will. Do you see that tonight? If the Lord will, we shall do this or we shall do that. And that must be our attitude. We're not to boast of tomorrow. We're not to presume upon tomorrow. We are not to take for granted that tomorrow is going to come. The young promise themselves middle years. Those who get to the middle years, they promise themselves old age. And the elderly always think, I've got one more day. That's why people live the way they do. The ungodly boast of tomorrow, it belongs to them. That's how they reason things in their mind. Tomorrow's mine. Belongs to me. I can do what I want. How do we know this? Because they make their plans. And they make their plans without thinking about God. The unconverted, they boast about tomorrow, even those that are concerned about their soul. We do have those that have a knowledge of the Word of God and they have a knowledge of their need of Christ. And how do they boast of tomorrow? By putting off repentance and sin and salvation. Yes, they say, I'll get saved. I'll forsake the world. I'll come to Christ. I will turn from my sin. I will live for God, but not now. Tomorrow. Sometime in the future. Maybe the next mission that comes to the church, or it's always somewhere down the line. Isn't that so? Isn't that the way some of you have been living? Read about Felix in the Bible, 24th chapter of Acts. He boasted of tomorrow. He presumed upon tomorrow. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived stood before him, the great apostle Paul. The Bible says he reasoned with this man. And he reasoned with him concerning three great subjects: sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Those are things that we need to know, and things that preachers need to set before their congregations. We need to know about sin. Sin that condemns us. Sin that is taking us to a Christless hell. We need to know about righteousness. We don't have righteousness of our own. We need the righteousness of another, namely the righteousness of Christ. And we certainly need to know that there is a judgment in the future, a day when we will be summoned to stand in the very presence of God, when the great throne of the Almighty is set up and all are called to appear before the judgment bar. And you know, Felix, this Roman governor, he listened to all that preaching, that faithful preaching from Paul. And the Bible says he trembled. But he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I've got a convenient season, I will call for thee." He was presuming upon another time, a more convenient season, when he would think about these things more clearly. And as far as we know, it never came. And so you tell me that one day you'll get converted, maybe in a year's time. Do you know what you're doing? You are defying God. You're saying that you will continue in your sin for another 12 months at least. For the next year, if you are spared, you will rebel against God's mercy. You will sin against God's light. You will shun the gospel. You will trample beneath your feet the blood of Jesus. Is that wise? If you were sick, very sick, would you call for the doctor tomorrow? If your house was on fire tonight, would you call for the fire brigade tomorrow? If you were robbed, would you shout, "Stop, thief," tomorrow? No, you wouldn't do that in the ordinary things of life. But that's how you are treating your soul's salvation. Something that's infinitely more important. The need to be right with God. The need to be saved by the grace of God to be ready for heaven. And you're saying, "I'll do it tomorrow." And tomorrow never comes. My friends, tomorrow does not belong to us. Both the distant and the immediate future belong to God. He not only possesses the exclusive control of what shall happen in 100 years from now, but he possesses the absolute control of what happens tomorrow. In fact, what happens in the next hour, the next minute, they are exclusively his. The next breath that you take is in the hands of God. So there is this presuming about tomorrow. The second thought as you look at our text is that there's a problem. The problem of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And listen to the second part of the text. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The circumstances and events of tomorrow are hidden from view. Tomorrow is bound in a veil of secrecy. We cannot see the future. Tomorrow may bring death and destruction for all we know. You think of Noah's time. Go way back there to ancient history. To that story that we know so well in the early chapters of Genesis. The people of his generation, the Lord tells us, did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see what's happening here? Life's just going on as normal. The ordinary things of life have consumed them. Despite the fact that Noah had been faithful for decades, preaching the word, warning the people of the coming judgment, calling the people to salvation, to get into the ark of safety before that great and dreadful judgment of God fell upon the old world. But here they are, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage right until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. I can only imagine what the day before was like. People were not thinking about God. They were not thinking about a flood coming to wipe out the world. They were not heeding anything that the preacher had to say, this preacher of righteousness, Noah. No, things were just going on as usual. And they were boasting about tomorrow. But then tomorrow came. And they were swept away into the great eternity of God. Haman prided himself upon the prospect of the queen's banquet, but he was hanged like a dog before the night was through. He knew not, could not envisage what was going to happen to him that very evening. But he was thinking that life was going to go on with him. He was going to sit down at the banquet. He was going to enjoy the hospitality of the palace. But it never came. The rich farmer in the New Testament boasted of tomorrow when he planned for the years ahead. But his soul was required of him that very night. The very night in which he boasted. Whenever he prospered and did so well in life and said to himself, just eat and drink and be merry and enjoy life. God says, you're a fool. This very night your soul will be required. Never thought about it. What a problem it is when people just live for themselves and they don't think about what's going to happen in the future. How natural it is for a young person to look for tomorrow's prospect. But sometimes, and we know it only too well, the lovely flower is cut down and the budding roses fade away. The healthy as well as the sick are cut down, and so cut down in the prime of life, the strong as well as the feeble. Oh, listen to it, my friends. We know not what a day will bring forth. What if you should not see another day? What if death was to overtake you by surprise without warning, and then you are thrust down to hell forevermore? And even if death doesn't come tomorrow, we know not what a day will bring forth. You may not die tomorrow on Monday, but Monday or this week could bring changes in your life that you never dreamt about in so many respects. You may meet with a serious accident. When Farida met with her accident, she was brought to ICU. She was put onto life support. She eventually went unconscious. I've sat in intensive care with those that have been in a coma, and they've been in a coma for days before they died. So you mightn't die tomorrow, but you might meet with an accident that will bring life-changing results. Or you may lose your mind. You may not always think the way you do today. Something might happen in your mind that will cause you never to think again about the salvation of your soul. Or the Spirit of God may cease to strive with you. You think about that. The Lord's been gracious. He spared you. He's spoken to you. He's been striving with you by the Spirit. But my Spirit shall not always strive with man, God says. And though you live tomorrow, and you live many tomorrows, yes, for the years to come, if the Spirit of God ceases to strive with you, my friends, you'll never think again about your soul's salvation, and you will never be saved. Boast not. That's the counsel of God's word. Tomorrow is not yours. Many things could happen. And Satan wants you to put off your salvation. He wants you to neglect salvation. And he's happy. He's happy if you do that. I want you just for a moment in this meeting to stop and think and consider and weep and think about your soul and pray. And my friends, believe what the Word of God tells us. Now, while the conscience speaks to you, while convictions last, while life and vitality remains, while the door of mercy and grace and salvation is opened, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Later tonight may be too late. In fact, if you miss Christ by just the ticking of a clock, you've missed Christ forever. I'd be a fool as a preacher to tell you to wait until tomorrow or to next week or to some future time to get right with God. Mr. D.L. Moody, he said, to recall the following act, I would give my right hand. On the night when the courthouse bell of Chicago was sounding an alarm of fire, my sermon was, What Shall I Do with Jesus? And I said to the audience, I want you to decide this question by next Sunday. What a mistake. That night I saw the glare of flames and knew that Chicago was doomed. I never saw that audience again. How true it was for many people in that congregation to which he had preached lost their lives that night. And he had to live with that for the rest of his life, that he told the people to make the decision by next Sunday. What a fool I would be to say, well, think about it. Maybe come to Christ tomorrow or come next week or come with the next mission. The Word of God says, come now. Now is the time. And then so finally, I want you to think about the preparation for tomorrow. Because in light of our text, surely preparation needs to be made. If I know not what a day will bring forth, if I know not what shall be on the morrow, if I know not the sudden visitations and the unexpected tragedies of a new day, does it not follow that I must be ready if and when such things overtake me? Ignorance of tomorrow is our incentive to prepare for the future. And Christ uses this argument in the sermon that he preached, it was to do with the second coming. But the application is there. And he says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. You've got to be ready because you don't know when the Lord is coming again. And we can apply that to the very day of your death as well. You need to be ready because you don't know when you're going to die. And the Lord uses that argument. It's an incentive to come to Christ. We must live as if tomorrow will not come. And that means if I'm not saved, I need to get right with God today. I need to be saved now. I need to be found in Christ before the light of another day. I need to get ready immediately. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbor light. But how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? You say, well, my soul is not drifting anywhere, preacher. How do you know? How many this year already thought just like that, but their soul drifted over the deadline and death came and took them away before they could ever be saved? You do not know what the next second will bring, let alone the next 24 hours. You could die while you're sitting in this very building. A sudden stroke, a fatal heart attack, an unexpected seizure could bring you instantly face to face with death and eternity and God and the judgment and hell itself. Many a person has dropped dead at church, for death is no respecter of places. No respecter of persons, but my friends, no respecter of places either. Think of it, from the pew of a church to hell itself. Would it not be better to be ready, to be found in Christ? If death should overtake you now while you're sitting here, wouldn't it be best for you to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord? Oh, the need of being ready. My friends, are you ready tonight? The great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, he said, I remember standing in the pulpit one sultry summer afternoon preaching the joys of heaven. And there was one woman's eye that especially caught mine. I knew not why it was, but it seemed to fascinate me. As I spoke of heaven, she seemed to drink in every word, and her eyes flashed back again the thoughts that I uttered. She seemed to lead me on to speak more and more of the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, till suddenly her eyes appeared to me to be too fixed. At last it struck me, while I had been talking of heaven, She had gone there. What if that had been you? Would you have gone there? Are you ready for heaven? Are you prepared to meet God? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. May this statement of God's word grip your heart. And if you're not saved, may you fly to Christ. He's the one that you need. It's not me. It's not the church. It's not religion. It's Christ that you need. He's the only one that is able to save your soul from death and hell. Flee to him. He's been to the cross. He's laid down his life in a sacrificial offering for your sin. You need him tonight. Will you not come and trust in the Redeemer? Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the Savior who died for us, who gave his life as a ransom, who paid the price for our sin. And Lord, we thank thee for the faithful warnings of your word and for this challenge recorded way back in the heart of the Old Testament scripture. Solomon wrote down the words of God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. O Lord, we pray that men and women in this meeting will cease their boasting of tomorrow and cease promising themselves vainly that they will see Monday and Tuesday and other days in this week. We don't know what the future has for us. We don't know if we'll be in the grave by this time next week or not. And the reality of life teaches us these things, and yet we fail to learn. Lord, help us to live with eternity's values in view. We pray that each soul here will make sure that they're in Christ, make sure that they have a saving relationship with him. Lord, bring them to the Savior tonight if they're not converted. Lord, save them now. For your name's sake, for your glory, save them now. In Jesus' name. Amen.